Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Sego
Buju Anim
Danach A at Anzenu Shook with An
Tante
Ay Inuradikay.
This is Words and Culture, a series on Indigenous languages, funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Sego Sewaguego. My name is January Rogers, your host for Words and Culture, the Haudenosaunee episodes. On this week's program, we're going to be speaking with a Six Nations singer-songwriter who simply goes by the name Samaya. She is a new talent on the scene who self-identifies as a pop artist. Her pedigree is rich, coming from a family of dancers, singers, and world-renowned potters. Samaya's mother is none other than Santee Smith, a fully established and well-celebrated contemporary dancer and founder of the Gahawi Dance Theatre. Gahawi is a special name for this dance company, and we'll find out why in this interview. Samaya is not only on the come up as an independent pop artist, writing and performing her own songs, but she has also composed traditional Haudenosaunee songs for dance performances and other commissions. I wanted to know, how does a young artist balance those two very different genres in their music making? Everyone, please welcome Samaya.
Oh, thanks for having me. Sego Sewaguego, Samaya Gahawi Smith Yungyats. Hey, everybody. My name is Samaya. I'm Mohawk Turtle Clan from Six Nations.
And where do you currently reside?
Currently, I'm living in Toronto, but I am back and forth from Six Nations all the time.
Right on. You know, as a person, and I know your mom, you know, anyone on Six Nations really knows who your family is because of the wonderful place that they hold in terms of, you know, producing visual art. And then, of course, your mother got with Gahawi Dance Theatre is a great, you know, great name in contemporary dance. So when you are a young person who it has those influences around you, within your family, how did you come into songwriting?
Well, actually, it's so funny because I think the first song I ever recorded was The Rabbit Dance, which is one of our like social songs from my community. And I think I was like 3 or 4. And that was the opening song for my mom's first dance production called Gahawi. And that's like my native name, right? So it was pretty interesting. And I think my family was always open to me exploring my creativity. So they put me in piano and they put me in singing lessons as well. So I did do that for a number of years and I had a really great teacher growing up. But then, you know, like I started branching more into visual arts. So I wasn't as interested in singing. But I was also like, I got really shy as well. So I didn't really feel comfortable on the stage at that point. Even though like, I don't know what it was about singing that I was nervous about, but like I could go dancing on stage. I think to me, for some reason, it felt more vulnerable. But as I got older, in my travels, like I would travel with my mom, on tour, and we were in New Zealand, and like the traditional way to introduce yourself is to sing a song from your community. So at the time I was getting into like Eskanye. I think there was a lot of people about my age posting videos of themselves singing Eskanye on Facebook at that time. So I, you know, had a renewed interest. And so I sang those songs out there, and that was a really great experience. There was such a great response. And I think like being reintroduced to singing and music in that way was really, really special, because I guess it's a different kind of realm of sharing, I guess. So I'm really grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I had the, you know, great honor to go to Alto Aurora twice. And I mean, gosh, it's, you know, talk about a whole continent full of amazing vocalists.
Yes. Everybody can sing there.
Everybody can sing
so
there.
Talented.
I mean, we know you. You're coming into a great time in your career as a contemporary pop singer, and we're getting to know you in that way. And I'm just wondering, like, in terms of like the traditional music, when you're singing with rattle or you sing with water drum, like, how did you get exposed to those songs?
Well, I just always grew up with that in my family. Like, I can't really remember the first time I got introduced to it, I guess I could say. I just always knew about them.
Okay, so then how did you get the idea to start to compose your own traditional songs?
You know, it's so funny, because it was, I think it really was because my mom needed some vocals for her, you know, compositions for her music, like choreography, and she knew that I could sing, so it was more so like her asking me to, you know, try out singing on her compositions. But I also had really great mentors through my mom. There's a woman singing group called Eulali. So that was featured a lot in her first production. And I remember like growing up to those songs, and they were just so beautiful and in harmonies as well. So I forget which dance production it was, but I got the chance to do harmonies for Jennifer Kreisberg. So she really opened my eyes to, you know, being confident in my own voice. And I'll never forget her words of wisdom when she said that, like, when you're thinking of doing harmonies, you can think of like natural harmonies, because she said growing up that she would listen to the symphony of bugs in the forest. And that's kind of what she tries to replicate in those harmonies. And I still carry that forward in my traditional music, but also in my contemporary music as well. So it's definitely have a lot of influence from that experience.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't know that. When you mentioned that, you know, your mom's dance company is called Gahawi, and that's your traditional name. What does that mean? Do you mind to share that with us?
Yeah, it means she carries. And in our family, we inherit our family names. So my great grandma had passed, and I was the first girl born after that. So that's why I got her name.
How special.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, the process of creating like new traditional songs. Do you do that in the language? Do you use language in that?
I try to. I'm definitely a very, very amateur learner. I've always been interested in language. I did take one course for learning Mohawk just this past year. It was very intense.
Yeah.
But eventually, I've always been interested in incorporating more of my language into my songs, and I'll be looking to do that hopefully next year. But I'm also trying to speak as well. So okay. What I did with my previous songs is I took them a lot from what I could learn online, and also my mom would work with a lot of language speakers, and then they would give me what I should sing or say. So yeah, I think it really helps with my pronunciation, though. I think they say to learn Mohawk, it's best to sing it, and then you can like really get the enunciation of it, because it generally should sound like you're singing. So it's really great to work with for songwriting.
Oh, I love that. I love that analogy. To sing is to speak, and to speak is to sing. You know, I had the honor to speak with Amos Key Jr., who is, you know, a great cultural leader, and he's also a speaker. And he just talks about how, music is just embedded in everything we do and in every way that we identify as Haudenosaunee people. So you've come into your own as a singer, and you know, so you're carrying the language with you into your music. I wanted to ask you about the processing and how there's similarities and or differences in terms of composing traditional music and composing contemporary music. What are those similarities and what are those differences?
I think my creative process in general, like I always start with vocables or like a melody. So that's the, but definitely depending on what kind of traditional inspired song you're trying to make, like will have a certain structure. So for example, like in Escaña, we have a verse one and a verse two pretty much. And then you, the verse one is always doubled and then it goes verse two, verse one, verse two, verse one. But so it really, you do have to follow a structure with some traditional music. But you know, not all of my songs are like specifically trying to make a more traditionally inspired song. Some can be on orchestral pieces, or some can just be like really large vocal soundscapes that don't follow any kind of structure. So, you know, I've explored all of those different forms of traditional music in that way. And then I would say my process is pretty much the same when making more of my contemporary music. I always start with, the vocable and melody. That's kind of what comes first. And then I just build my instrumental around that. Or it can be the other way. But yeah, I think it's all very organic regardless.
Mm. Well, you mentioned Escaña. What is that? Can you explain to the listeners what that is?
Yeah, it's women's shuffle dances. So it's we have socials in our community. And so pretty much it's meant to bring the community together, and there's certain dances with certain songs. So only the women dance the women's shuffle dance, and it's has a lot of significance. It's the first dance that Sky Woman danced when she came onto Turtle's back. So I try to be mindful too of that when I do dance, but that's a little synopsis of what that is.
That's cool. And yeah, just for the listeners too, Sky Woman is, of course, Haudenosaunee creation story, the first human, or, you know, maybe she was spirit who started our earth land base. And she shuffled her way onto the mud and made it expand into Turtle Island. So
yeah, so that shuffle, that's the Escaña, like that's the woman's shuffle.
What inspires you in terms of writing traditional songs? Like, are you listening to other songs and you go, oh, I think I can do my own version of that? Or where does that inspiration come from for traditional songs that you create? Oh,
yeah, I actually was just so inspired by everybody posting their Escañas on Facebook, and a lot of them were originals as well. And I don't know, I am really inspired by a few singers that I can also call my friends, which is really great. Yeah, I just really like listening to the way that they trill their voice in certain areas. And then there's just a few kind of vocables that I do like when I want to incorporate that into my songs. I like to go to socials, so you can hear a lot of people singing there. I don't go as often anymore, but I did go to Sings, which are like huge socials. So it was really interesting to hear every community's, you know, songs, and that's all Escaña. So I really like going and being there in person and listening, but also people do post online as well, so I can take some influence from that.
Yeah, no, I think that's so great, because it makes it accessible, you know, to people who can't get out to the Sings or for whatever reason. And just so folks know that at Sings, we see it's basically all made up of different singing societies from different communities. Were you ever part of a singing society, Samaya?
No, I really did want to be a part of Six Nations this year. But that didn't end up working out. But maybe one day I will. But I'm not a really great drummer or rattler, so I was so nervous. But yeah.
But you know, other people are can play that role. And then you mentioned that some of your songwriting it comes into being because of commissions. So is that the work that you've done with your mother, or do you get asked to create songs from other areas?
Yeah. So most of my traditional music was all created with the purpose to, you know, serve as music for my mom to dance to in her productions. And then I have been commissioned by other arts productions or theater productions as well. So it was really great to kind of explore that as well.
Yeah, you know, and because I love the idea of, you know, people, musicians, artists who have our, you know, traditional art forms at the base of what we do. I'm just wondering if you've ever given any thought to, like, how far can I take this? Like, you know, while still maintaining a proper, the proper, you know, cultural protocols within the art form itself, have you given any thought to, like, where else can I use this? How else can I apply it in your art making?
I guess maybe I struggled with that in the beginning of my career because, you know, I do want to be respectful. I don't want to do anything that, you know, shouldn't be shared, stuff like that. But I think I've played it pretty safe, you know, just using social songs, and those are meant to be shared. So just knowing that. And then more recently, I'm trying to look for ways that I haven't heard traditional music incorporated before with any other artists. So right now I'm just thinking of, well, actually I'm producing a song currently that kind of uses Haudenosaunee vocal techniques, I would say. So there's not really any language in there. There's not any specific structure, but definitely I had to learn how to use my voice in a certain very specific way to make those songs sound good, I guess. So I tried taking that vocal and putting it into this EDM pop song that I have now. Also incorporating, you know, I was thinking of maybe even sampling different kind of instruments from like maybe rattles or a water drum to be used in a composition. That's something else that I was thinking of doing. And again, with the harmonies, like I do still take a lot of influence from what Jen said to me with thinking of bugs. Like it doesn't have to be sonically perfect as long as it sounds natural to you, you know? So I also struggled with trusting my intuition in that way. But I feel like I'm getting a lot better at that. As long as it doesn't sound bad or wrong, like, then it's fine, you know.
Yeah. And you're going to be the one who gauges, you know, that, you know, being a, you know, a self-producing musician. I really appreciate that, because then we get to explore, you know, we get to hear new things. I mean, I remember when, and you probably remember when, you know, Tribe Called Red came out, and like, holy moly. Like, here's the new thing. Here's the new thing that we are actually allowed to do with our music, you know?
Yeah.
So that was like really exciting for everybody, like native and non-native listeners alike. And when you're talking about a traditional vocal technique, what exactly do you mean by that?
It's like a certain kind of trill sound, or like, it's kind of like when you change from your low register to your high register. Mm-hmm. It's like a very specific sound, I guess.
Okay, that's good. Have you ever sang powwow?
No, I haven't. Well, the closest I got maybe was singing hand drum songs, so like some roundies, but I've never explored powwow per se. I don't know if my register can hit that high, but I've always been interested. But you know, like in my culture, like we never had powwows either. So like, I've always been really focused on like what comes from my community and really like in that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's best to stick with what you can claim, eh, as your own. Mm-hmm. Authentically. And then I'm just wondering, in terms of, you know, coming out into your own as a solo artist, how do you bill yourself? Are you proud to be billed as a Haudenosaunee artist?
Yeah, I think like any art that I make will be Indigenous. So currently I'm just trying to explore like creatively without any kind of filters, like what interests me. And naturally, some things that, you know, influence me are my identity and are my heritage. So, you know, that's just going to be natural. I don't try to approach my art in a way like this is what Haudenosaunee art should sound like. It's more so like just looking into myself, what kind of art do I want to create? And of course, you know, that's still always going to be Indigenous. And I definitely have felt like a lot of pressure to sound a certain way, or, you know, like maybe some festivals are only looking for a certain kind of sound when they're looking for Native artists. So I feel like I've definitely, I don't necessarily like that per se, because I think that can limit a lot of, you know, like the boundaries. I guess it creates boundaries in artistically what we can create as Indigenous people. So I just tried for myself, not thinking that in that way. And, you know, I'll never be ashamed to be an Indigenous artist. So, you know, it's just, I'm more focused on what kind of art is meaningful to me.
Yeah. And again, like, you know, you've got this wonderful, very unique foundation that you create from. And so I think that is, you know, in terms of a career or even just being an artist that is looking to stand out, you've got that going for you, you know, and you're coming from a really, like a really, really authentic place with that. So, and I really appreciate what you're doing with your music, Samaya, because it gives us, you know, it gives Native music fans another reason to tune in. It's like you are this new generation of music makers, and it's really interesting to see what's coming up, you know, in the generation that you occupy. And I have to say that I'm very, very proud to hear what you're producing, because it's quality.
Thank you.
Yes, it's worth tuning in. It's worth turning that radio on for, you know, or the streamer or whatever, however people are consuming music these days. So, you know, you've got like this whole big future in front of you. This will be, you know, the question that we finish up our chat. And I just want, you know, to talk about the future of Indigenous music and, you know, what's your, if you could put your wish out into the big old universe to speak it, you know, give it words, give your wishes words. What do you wish that you will see happen in terms of Indigenous contemporary music and Indigenous traditional music? Where do you would like to see it go?
I can only really speak to myself, because everyone else will have an idea of what the future of Indigenous music will look like. But I definitely, what I would like to see is more Indigenous artists in very like mainstream stages, I would say. Like I'd want to be able to go to Coachella and see like a Native artist, and not having a predefined idea of what Indigenous art or music sounds or looks like. So I think that's something that I would like to see more of. And I'm so glad to actually see that, like, there's some really amazing artists upcoming, you know, like Sebastian Gaskin, he's really cool, Wolf Saga, like they're definitely creating that kind of environment, and I'm really glad, because that makes it almost like, you know, it sets a foundation for me as an upcoming artist, you know, because I can see artists out there that are doing the kind of songs that I love to listen to. And I just think it's so great that we have that kind of representation. And then for traditional music, I'm not sure. Like, I feel like I'm very pro keeping like the original intention of traditional music. So like not changing it as much, but I think there can be a balance between keeping the original versus exploring where that can take you as well. So I think it's important for our communities to do both, and artists can definitely do both. For traditional music, like, I'm excited to hear more about like the different ways that we can start incorporating that into maybe different genres, maybe exploring different kinds of soundscapes. I'm also really interested, like, I have a few friends that are contemporary and traditional artists as well. Like, one of my good friends, Deja Soteta, I'm really excited for his music because he's a fluent speaker of Mohawk. So he's going to actually incorporate that into his music. So definitely excited for a lot of upcoming artists as well in that way that are doing what I think is the future of traditional / contemporary music.
Right on. Can you name your friend again and what community they're from?
Yeah, he's from Tandanega and his name is Deja Soteta.
Beautiful. Okay, we're going to look out for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Yes, it's amazing. And then, so tell us what you're up to now. You're in the studio currently?
I'm going to be in the studio all day tomorrow. I have my new song. It's going to be called Withdrawals. So I'm really excited about that. This is one of my favorite songs so far. So I'm so excited.
Oh, that's really exciting.
That was Mohawk singer-songwriter Samaya from Six Nations. Be sure to follow Samaya on all the music streaming platforms and look for her concert dates on her website, samayasmith.com, where you will enter the Samayaverse. Now, let's leave you with the last three words of these episodes. The people. Un hueso a. Un hueso a. Un hueso a. The people. The color red.
Oniguatara. O. Ni gua da ra oniguatara.
Turtle, which is Samaya's clan.
Anowara. A no wa ra. Anowara. Turtle.
That's it for our series. I hope you enjoyed listening and I hope you learned a few words along the way. A big niawagoa to all of our guests who took their time to help share the language here on Words and Culture. Again, my name is January Rogers, and it's been my pleasure to be the host of this series. Onigiwahi. Bye for now. Be well and take care.